Welcome to another episode of Living an Ultra Life. My name is Mike, and this week we have got an awesome, spectacular, amazing guest that I met for the first time at Swami Shuffle. This gal absolutely rocked it. She was amazing. So let's bring in, all the way from Vermont, Katie Markesich. Katie, want to go for a run?
I would love to go for a run in theory.
In practice, not quite yet, right?
Not quite yet. I mean, I did run a little bit with the pups today, but I'm wondering if that was the best idea. But my heart is out there.
There you go. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you? Where do you live? You know, what do you do when you're not, you know, out running crazy, insane distances?
Okay, so let's see if I can remember. Who am I? You know, I just listened to Justin's podcast and I feel like a lot of similar answers to him. Like Justin, I do ultras to kind of try to figure that out. I don't know. I'm someone who struggles with a lot mentally. I've struggled with depression and bipolar too, more so from depression for a long time. And so I kind of go in waves of like struggling to hang on and then like searching for these really fun, quote, fun, intense goals that really like get my blood moving. So I oscillate between those. And then I also am, I've really started to focus on spending, like developing relationships with people, like friendships. I had a ton of social anxiety when I was younger. I feel like I didn't really start figuring out who I was until I was like 35. And also I'm a big proponent of therapy for like trying to figure out who I am and trying to like better myself. And so running and therapy really help. And I love giggling. Giggling's one of my favorite things.
I noticed that.
What's that?
I noticed that during the race.
Yeah. So that's kind of me. And what were the other questions?
So, like, what's your background? Where do you live? And do you, you know, married, not married, 9 million kids, zero kids, 7,000 dogs, zero dogs, all that good stuff.
I live in Milton, Vermont, which is about 20 minutes north of Burlington, Vermont, and about 20 minutes south of the Canada-Vermont border. My husband, Ben, and I have a house here. We've lived here for, I think, about 7 years. I've been in Vermont since 2011, and I grew up in Massachusetts. And I currently am a grants manager for the state of Vermont. What that means is mostly I work a lot with spreadsheets. I work a lot with budgets, which I really like. I do a lot of financial related stuff. And then also I just support people in getting their stuff. And then also I'm just like a kind of professional organizer, like an organizer of people.
Oh,
And
that is
things.
awesome.
That's what my job kind of is. I work from home, which is awesome for me. It's very flexible as long as I get my work done, which is also awesome. It's a huge draw for me. And my husband's a PT too, which is freaking awesome.
Oh, no way. Did he help you out when you got back from Swami's?
He did a little. We actually kind of try to, if I need help, I try to go to someone else because there can always be that tension where it's like, I help. And like, if I don't think I'm like this, but I could be like this for sure, where it's like, if you get it wrong. So we try to avoid that. But
That's
he
awesome.
always, he'll like massage and needle and do all that stuff.
Oh,
We just
cool.
don't do evaluation. And then we have two amazing pups. My first dog, Bailey, was actually, he might be the reason I'm still alive right now. I realized that I just have such a strong bond with animals. I feel like I'm fully understood with my pups, just loved in a way that I haven't felt loved by a human. So once I had Bailey, I just realized I needed dogs in my life. And now we have Billy and Bear. Billy is a 3-year-old cattle dog lab mix, and Bear is a 3-year-old golden. And they keep me very, very busy. So I take them out for between 4 to 7 miles a day, usually running, but if I'm injured, gotta deal with it, but hoping to increase that to more
That's
like
awesome.
10. But yeah, they're the best. And
Now,
now I think about
when you're taking the pups out for
it.
walks and runs and stuff, is it on the road or where are you going?
So it depends, but typically I like to do our morning runs on trail, off leash.
Okay.
Bear is pretty naughty though, so he off they all they both have a GPS and they both have e-collars. I hardly have to use the e-collars because they're really good at we have like a complex communication system. But Bear, if he sees something and I'm not really on him, if I'm distracted at all and I don't see him engage with that thing, then he could be gone for like a couple hours and I could be driving
Wow.
around trying to find him. which is fine. I just have to make sure I don't have anywhere I need to be after that. So it's not fine, but I don't mind it so much.
Right.
So yeah, we try to do like on a perfect day for their fitness right now, do like a 6 mile jog, like trail jog in the morning, and then in the evening we'd maybe do like one and a half to 2 mile road jog.
Oh. So now, like, how close are you to trails where you live in Vermont?
I actually have one. There's some like ATV trails a half mile from me, which when I found them out, I freaked. They're fucking awesome, and no one's hardly ever on there.
Really?
And they have like awesome, probably like 200 feet of elevation per mile, and pretty rugged. So like similar to some of the trail races up here. And then like other trails, not mountain trails, but I have at least one. I would say at least like five other trails within 20 minutes, more than that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so like super blessed in that sense. Love it. So much to explore out here. And there's a bunch of stuff that's like not super well known. So if you have an adventurous spirit and you're like, wonder where this goes, you find some stuff.
That is what I loved about living in Wyoming, because I am that person. I'm like, it looks like a trail. I'm gonna go take it and find out where I end up. And
Yeah, there's no private sign
then,
here.
yeah. So tell us a little bit about your running. How did you get started running?
I remember running in 5th grade with a running club, and I think that's the first time I remember actually like formally running. And it was pretty informal as far as running groups go, but I realized that I had some natural talent. My dad was a marathon runner. He ran several sub-3 hour marathons, so I'm sure I got that in the genes. And I remember my first mile in school at gym class was 6:24. I think I might have been in 6th grade then.
624
So,
is a sixth grader. That's pretty fast.
yeah. And then I just kept doing it. I was good at it. I didn't hate it. I think I liked it. So I just kept going. And then I have a kind of complicated high school experience, as everyone does, I'm sure. But for running wise, in junior year, I got really good and I was state and nationally ranked in cross country and regionally ranked in cross country and nationally ranked in winter track.
Wow.
And then I had started doing triathlons the summer before, started training for those, which was not much. Like I was just doing sprint triathlons and I wasn't doing like much swimming or biking, but I think also I just kind of like latched on. I saw an ad for an Ironman triathlon for Kona actually, and I was like, I want to do that. I actually did end up doing Kona, but I
Did
got
you
lucky.
really? Oh,
Yeah.
cool.
Yeah, I did a Ironman in China in Hainan, China, which was 113 degrees on the day
Oh
that
my gosh.
and there had been a hurricane the day before, so the current in the river was like 2 meters per second. So
Oh
only a
my
third of the
gosh.
people finished. And if I finished, I would have qualified for Kona because I was the only one in my age group. And I finished barely and I went to Kona. Anyway, doesn't mean
Wait,
I'm a good
I gotta find out, how did you end up running a triathlon in Hainan, China? This is not
I
like,
was
on the
teaching in
beaten
South
path.
Korea. I was teaching
Okay,
English in
all
South
right.
Korea. So I love languages too. So I decided my
Okay.
first year after college, I decided to go to South Korea to teach, quote, teach English. Unfortunately, most of the time it was kind of like I was a parrot, except for the camps that I did, like week-long camps that I got to create my own stuff.
Right.
I also created li a library system, which was fun, but I sought out a triathlon team there. I just emailed them and asked, like, hey, would love to train with you guys. And I got an email within 24 hours saying, like, we'd love to meet. So I ended up spending a lot of time with that triathlon team and helping coach their youth triathlon team. So I had a pretty cool experience there. But I wanted to do an Ironman when I was in China because I'd done one in college. I wanted to do my second one, and the closest one was Hainan, China. So I wasn't very financially
Awesome.
responsible.
That's awesome. So how many years did you teach overseas?
Just one. I was going to
Okay.
go back for more, but since I had a couple things that I had to stay back for Kona and my sister's wedding, and then I ended up just slipping into a teaching job, and then I just ended up not going back. And then after that, I soon after went up to Vermont. But yeah, so running, I did really well in junior year of high school, and then I got injured. A small injury that turned into a bigger injury, in my opinion, was an error. And I got these like 3/4 length hard orthotics for some arch pain, which
Right.
caused some like excessive knee pain. And I'm just like a sensitive person. And I was just not, like I said, I was really socially awkward. And I just had a lot of like, I didn't feel stable. I didn't feel unstable at that point. But looking back, I can see that I was so like, I was just like ready to crumple. In hindsight, I don't feel like I had like support to lift me up because I was so like fragile mentally
Right.
or emotionally. And that just threw me into a deep depression. And I didn't end up running senior year. I was suicidal that year, tried to commit suicide that year. And also in 9th grade, I ended up getting a really pretty bad eating disorder. I was anorexic, and then I that when I recovered from that, that turned into eventually, I think, I mean, I've had issues with disordered eating up until about like 1.5 years ago, where I really finally was able to nip it by constant work with professionals. It'll still kind of always be there, but like I'm so much more healthy now. But I had dealt with anorexia and then bulimia,
Oh, wow. Okay.
binge purge. But anyway, that I had for like 20 years.
Wow.
Obsessed with food. I would be so stressed going out to eat, going out anywhere where I didn't have control over my food. So it was like constant restricting, 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 and then like you're starving and then you just binge. And so
Wow.
anyway, I ran through all of that, but I had ups and downs with running because like depending on where I was in my eating disorder cycle. And then when I went to college, I was recruited for running. I ended up only running for a short period of time, like less than a season. And then I switched to triathlon, the club, because I just wasn't emotionally ready for college. And 6 to 7 hours a day with a team just felt like too much.
All
Where I
right.
look back now and I'm like, I wish I could have done that because that sounds so fun now that I'm like ready for it.
Right.
But I wasn't then, so I just switched to triathlon.
Cool. So from triathlons, did you then just start doing like road marathons and stuff like that, or what?
Yeah, so well, when I did triathlon training, it wasn't like I did a lot of training, but it wasn't super quality. Like my running was pretty good, and I think at that point, like I was in the middle of, I wish I could remember the right name for this term, but like the binge purging cycle. So I was heavier than I am now, or I have been in excellent shape. So I think that partly might have contributed to like it contributed to a lot of things, self-esteem and how that related to my training. But like my running was definitely always my best because I had that natural talent, and then otherwise I would just do the hours. But yeah, so my first marathon was in an Ironman, but like my first Ironman, I think my marathon was like six,
Okay.
5 hours or something.
Right.
The fastest marathon in a triathlon was 4.5 hours. Ironmans were just expensive and super time consuming to train for and kind of isolating if you didn't have people to train with.
Right.
So, and I was. It was hard for me to find to like feel comfortable training with people. I always thought that I wasn't good enough and I didn't want to drag people down. So eventually I kind of transitioned to some road races, and I think I did some triathlons just when I wanted to throw one in, like an Olympic distance or something.
Okay.
And then probably like 2016, maybe a little earlier, I was like, oh, I'm gonna switch to marathons. This is like easier. It's just in terms of time and money, I just switched over to marathons at that point.
And then, so one of the things that, I found out talking to you during Swami's is you're one heck of a trail racer. How did you end up transitioning from, the road stuff to the trail stuff? And you've gotten really good at it. How did that happen?
So I was doing road marathons and I was in pretty good shape for me. I think I was in shape for a sub three for sure, given what my workouts were and my efforts. And I remember it was 2018. So I had done several marathons before then, but it was 2018 and I was doing my tune-up marathon before the May marathon in Vermont, the VCM, the Vermont City Marathon. That's where I was going to try to do a sub three. So I did a February marathon in Hyannis, and the weather was awesome. It was like 17 mile per hour winds, pouring rain, 37 degrees. And I remember I won that marathon, although my time wasn't amazing. It was like a 309. So that was just supposed to be a tune-up. So I was like, okay, cool. That was fine. And then I think like 2 weeks later, maybe 3 weeks later, I did a 20-mile workout, like a hard 20-mile run, and I started to feel pain in my heel. I was like, oh, that's weird, but like, that's fine. So I just like kept running on it, kept running on it. And then it turned out to be plantar fasciitis, which took me out for like, I couldn't start really training again for 8 months, which was by far the longest injury I've ever had.
That
Like,
so how what did that do to you mentally going 8 months without running? Because it sounds like
Well,
running is like your mental balance point.
yeah. Well, so luckily I have the swimming and the biking to fall
Okay.
back on, right? And also, I'm like, exercise is part of, I need it. I need it for my mental health. When I breathe and I feel like refreshed, like I can't breathe and feel refreshed if I don't get my heart rate up. I need to find a way, and I will find a way. I'm resourceful. Like, I will sit in my chair and like move my torso around for 30 minutes if I have to. I'll figure it out. But swimming and I think biking I was still able to do. So that was fine. I was just pissed about the running because I was in the best shape of my life,
Yeah, no
probably.
kidding. A 309 marathon, that's pretty good. That's decent.
Yeah, not
Yeah.
bad. It was in the best marathon shape of my life for sure. So yeah, I was able to start trail jogging 4 months after that injury, but it was like 4 minutes at a time or like 5 minutes at
Okay.
a time. So I'd run on grass for a couple minutes and then walk and then do intervals of that. And I was just like, this doesn't hurt nearly as much. And then I started thinking like soft ground versus pavement. And I'm like, this makes more sense in terms of like not getting injured as much. I just started doing trail running and I do some road races still once in a while. Like I actually popped into a marathon a couple of years ago. I won that one too
Awesome.
without really training, but then I got injured. So like, you have to train.
Vicious cycle,
I have a
isn't
good mental game. I have a really good
it?
mental game, and that's why I can do well without training much. The other thing with trail running is for me, at my level, I am forced to hike at certain points if you're doing elevation. So it just forces you into moderation with your muscles and not overusing your muscles. You have to hike some. You have to also just like the different terrains, you have to land on your feet in different ways and you have to change up your gait and different techniques like quick feet or whatever. And it's just like so much harder to get an injury, like a road running
Right,
injury
right.
running. So
Well, and it's different
that's kind
camber
of
all
stuff.
the time. I mean, road running, part of the thing is you're always landing on that same surface, footfall after
Unnatural
footfall. And
surface too.
yeah, and our bodies were made to bend and move and not land on the same surface all the time. And so I think that's where a lot of injuries come from. So
It is
you've done
so
a
fun to go
ton of,
fast.
yeah.
Like
It
sometimes
will.
I'm, oh, I miss it.
I was going to say, if you're really fast, it's got to be a little bit frustrating to get the injuries and not be able to just, go fast, right?
Yeah, but like then you just do the strength training and mobility. You just have to put it in. I mean, for me, my body needs that.
Right.
Not everybody's body might need that, but I do. So if I feel like if I want a cycle where I'm gonna do some like I want to train for a 10K or something or a fast marathon, I have to fit that in.
Okay. That's cool. It's cool that you know what your body needs. I always tell people, every body is different. So if you do try to just, take somebody else's training plan and think you're going to be successful, you're not, because that body's training plan that they wrote may not be the right training plan for you. So you have to take all these training plans and then you have to adapt it and you have to figure out, okay, what does my body, how does my body react to this and how does my body perform? And it sounds like you're doing a fantastic job of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I just realized if I want to continue to improve and to continue to do harder stuff, that's just the easiest way to pay attention to your body. And when I coach or when I give advice, that is always my top piece of advice, or my MO is just like, we got to figure out you. What are your goals and how is your body going to react to this stuff? It's
Exactly.
just because like pros do it this way and it works for them does not mean it's going to work for everybody that way.
So now, when you got into ultras, and like I noticed that your first 50 miler, actually, no, it wasn't, was it your first? You did Naked Prussian and then you did Bloodroot,
Oh,
which
you looked
sounds
into
fun.
it.
I did. And you finished first. So
No,
you
Naked
it
Prussian, I
wasn't.
finished third.
Okay, Naked Prussian third. Bloodroot was the one where you finished first.
Yeah, but
So,
that I think I was the only female finisher that year. Just saying.
there you go.
And my
That's
time was
awesome.
not very fast. Again, I
Hey,
think
I
that was
finished on the podium one time because only three people finished. And, but so what was your first 100 miler?
My first 100 miler was actually a DIY because it was the year of COVID. It was supposed to be
Okay.
Vermont 100. I mapped a 100 miler from my house to a mountain nearby and then back to my house. And my husband met me at a couple spots along the way, and I got to fuel up and do whatever needed to be done. And then a couple people volunteered to join me at certain points, which was really fun. I just got to hang out with people. So that was sweet. I finished 104 point something miles in under 24 hours.
That's awesome. So now the other thing that I noticed that you've done a bunch of times is Rut Fest. What is that?
Oh, fucking Rutfest is so great. I recommend everybody come to Rutfest.
Okay.
Put on by the Richmond Ultra Trail Running Club. That's RUT, Richmond Ultra Trail. I think I'm getting that acronym right. The people who are involved in Richmond Ultra Trail Group are like the freaking best people ever. I don't even want to say some of their names lest I forget one or two, but it's at the Catamount Center in Williston, Vermont. So the Catamount Center has running trails, mountain biking trails. In the winter, it's skiing trail, cross-country skiing trails. And Rutfest is a 3 mile loop and then a 4 mile loop.
Oh, cool.
And then it's a timed event. So it's always on daylight savings time from 6 a.m. on Saturday, first weekend in November, to 6 p.m. on Sunday. And since it's daylight savings time, you get an extra hour. So it's technically 37 hours, but they do require that you volunteer for an hour, which is
Oh,
awesome in my
cool.
opinion.
Oh, I love that. That is awesome.
At the like transition spot or like the center of this 3 mile, 4 mile loop, they have these boards. So everybody comes in. When you come in, you write your name in, and then you write your time that you left, and then you write the time that you arrived back. So every time you come in from a loop, you have to write your time out and your time in.
Awesome. This is so old school. I love this. That is so awesome.
Yeah, it's really cool. And then it also gives like a, people are usually hanging around that spot where they're just like, good job, or like, how you feeling? Or you get to like kind of check in with people. But yeah, so then too, you can see where people are at.
Oh,
You're like,
yeah.
oh, that person, I want to catch that person. Also, they encourage you to bring food. They have a Google sign-up sheet for like whatever you're gonna bring. They have crock pots. They have like all this freaking awesome food. People through the
That's
night are making
cool.
grilled cheeses. They're making chicken patties. They're making pancakes, whatever. It's so awesome. And
Wow.
people are just like chilling there, freaking ringing their bells. Some guy had like a chicken blow up costume, was running around the trail. So
That's
great. My
awesome.
favorite weekend. And I set the overall course record last year at 129.
That is so cool. That's
Yeah.
awesome.
That was
Wow.
fun. I think I volunteered at 6 a.m. to make sure I got my volunteering in. And then my goal was first 12 hours was a warm up. The second 12 hours was getting through the night because that's the hardest thing for me. I always seem to not be able to get my caffeine down, even when I plan
Okay.
for. I did have to take a nap, and then the third 12 hours was race mode because I actually
Okay.
did try to race that one.
That is so cool. All right, so let's jump into Swamis. How in the world does this trail runner from Vermont find out about and sign up for Swami Shuffle 200?
So honestly, I was looking for 200s. And at first, I wanted to do Bigfoot. Bigfoot and Lake Tahoe, those are so expensive.
Yeah,
They're
just to sign up.
just to
You
sign
haven't
up.
even got out there yet.
$1,600 to sign up. And then no shade on that because like I'm sure they put on an awesome event and
They
like
do.
just having transition, like having aid stations out in the middle of nowhere, like that costs money.
A lot of permitting to get because it's all national forest. Most
Oh
people don't
yeah.
think about that. So
Yeah.
yeah, there's a reason it's expensive, but it
Yes.
is expensive.
I have put on race a race and I hope to move into the race directing arena at some point more, but you do not make money being a race director. I have not met any race directors who make money. Usually, if they do make anything, they give it to a cause. So yeah, I mean, it's going to be 3,000 minimum is my feeling. So I saw the Swami and I looked it up and I saw it was road and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to do that. And then I looked at the cause and I'm like, I've actually done my first overnight was done by Jason Mosel and his wife Amber. It was called Devil's Den, and it was the first year they did Devil's Den, and I think it's Race Mosey is his like company,
Okay.
and their company. And it was for a similar cause, to just raise awareness for veteran mental health and veteran suicide and along those lines. And I remember him giving a talk at the beginning, and I was crying because, because I've tried to commit suicide myself and
Right.
just struggled with mental health. And not the same as veterans, it's so different. It's really nice to connect with something important emotionally when you're out there doing something big, just to connect with that. And also it makes it easier, the hard parts, because you think about people who have suffered and people who gave so much for us. And then my first 100 to my first DIY 100, I raised money for the Josh Pallotta Fund, which is a local veteran.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yeah. So this has been a cause that I am feel very connected to, even though I am not a veteran. So yeah, I was pumped to come to, especially in February, to like get a break from Vermont and come down, and I was really hoping to like meet a bunch of awesome people and like have a new Swammy family, and that
There you
didn't.
go. Yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. So your approach to it was really, really unique. So tell us a little bit about how you prepped. Like you had planned out your hotel stops and you had booked the hotels beforehand. Is that correct? So tell us a little bit about what your kind of strategy was coming in.
Sure. I didn't book the hotels until close to the race because I still wasn't sure if I was going to carry all my stuff with me in a big 30-liter pack. I kept going back and forth about it, but ultimately I decided I wanted to run more. It's easier. It's not that it's hard to run with a weight on your back, because honestly, it's not. A sleeping bag and a hammock is not very heavy at all. It's just a 30-liter pack is not stretchy like a 12-liter or under hydration pack is.
Right,
So it's
more
bouncy.
rigid. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a lot more, 'cause I've run on it with it on the long trail, and it's just not nearly as comfortable. And I think like a week before, maybe less than that, I booked my hotels. So I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna run it, and then I'll bring my 30-liter pack if I want to take it at any point. But I decided, okay, I was just gonna get a hotel at mile like around 60, 160. Also, at that time, I didn't really know what the mileage was gonna be
Right.
at that point because, James and Josh say 200, 200 plus. And then
They're
they said,
such
well, some
liars, aren't
people
they?
say
Yeah, they just
220. Yeah, and I'm like, well, I would like Google map it, but you can't Google map the beach part. So I'm like, okay, I don't really know what this mileage is gonna be. So I'm just gonna have to find out the day of. So I booked that what I thought was 50, 55 milers, but it was actually like 59 miles, a Comfort Inn. And then I was just gonna do that, but then I ended up also booking the Hatteras Island Inn at the turnaround, which is at, for me, it was at mile 110 because I went to the lighthouse and then came back. But I basically booked that to just like drop food and water. It was very restricting to not be able to lay down whenever I wanted or feel like I don't want to lay down right now, but I don't have another option for another 50 miles. So I left there at 3 a.m. and then I got to the Hatteras Island Inn the next day at 2, like 1:45 p.m. And I didn't want to sleep, but my thought there was like, I could finish Tuesday night if I sleep now, go through the night tonight, and then get to my hotel in the morning, sleep a little bit, and then go through the night the next day. That didn't happen because I was worried about whatever was going on with my ankle. But I slept probably like 2, 2.5 hours at that hotel, maybe 3, but I didn't end up leaving till 8. And then I went through the night, the second night from 8 p.m. to 7 a.m. I got to my hotel at mile 60 at 7 a.m. My plan was to stay there until like 4 and go through the night to finish Tuesday morning. I couldn't sleep. I slept like an hour and a half. So I ended up getting back on the road at 11:15 in the morning. This is Monday. But then I started to feel that pain in the top of my foot and the shin, and my ankle started to swell. And I was like, okay. And then ankle just started getting worse. So I ended up walking most of the last 60 miles, which for me is so boring. But yeah, then I got an impromptu Hampton Inn on Tuesday night, which sucked. But
I
like,
remember
whatever.
that. That shocked me when you texted me that you were stopping at the Hampton Inn, because I was really expecting you to go through the night on the beach.
I really could have. And the only reason I did that, well,
I
I was
mean,
worried
it
about getting a stress fracture and then
right.
being totally fucked with my dogs. 'Cause it sounds like an excuse and it can be. They're part of my life. And as a dog mom, I'm not a human mom. They're my responsibility. I can't go out there and be super selfish when you have dependents. I sound
Right,
so dumb.
right. No,
But
it's
like,
totally understandable. It's yeah.
yeah. So I just, and what I, again, I mentioned this in my video. If I had wanted to like finish Tuesday morning, I would have needed to put my legs up. If I was worried about my ankle, just put my leg up for 10, 15 minutes every 10 miles and take a little power nap. And pop some caffeine pills because I had them. I just constantly forgot about them. So I was really tired. But yeah, so I chose to go into the Hampton Inn. I was having a mental low and I did not want to be cold. That I think that
Right.
was the ultimate reason. It was freaking cold. I
It had
didn't
dropped
had
a
an
lot.
yeah, it you could see your breath. It was like 20 something. And
Now, did
I
Greta
had an
go
extra
into the
pair of
Hampton Inn with
clothes.
you?
What's that?
Did Greta go into the Hampton Inn with you? Because you did have a friend, so
I
you weren't
was
by
going to
yourself.
bring her in. But I was worried that they either weren't going to let her in or there was going to be an issue with me. So I left her outside and then picked her back up.
There you go. You want
My
to
stick.
say who Greta is?
It was my stick that I picked up at mile 44. I mean, 44 miles from the
Board four
end.
from the finish. Yeah,
Yeah,
that's
just to
awesome.
like take some pressure off my ankle. And I did try to walk without it and be like, is this just a mental thing? But like, it did ease. I tried different gaits. I tried a couple different things and I just found the way that was least painful, and that was with her.
There you go. Yeah. I just am was so amused that you named her Greta. So I thought that was
Spent a
awesome.
lot of time together.
So I'm gonna pitch your video that you did on YouTube.
Yeah.
If you're really into entertainment, Gotta watch Katie's video on YouTube, and we will link this in the podcast notes because it is hilarious. So last night you stopped at the Hampton Inn. What time did you get started from the Hampton Inn on Wednesday?
Round two, 1:45.
Okay.
I
Okay.
got like, I think I got like 3 hours of sleep. I watched TV there too.
There you go. Good.
I bought a burrito to warm up and it was so awesome. So I ate the burrito, I think laying upside down with my feet on the bed, and then watched some TV and texted a little bit. And then yeah, I left it to like 1:45. And then I
Okay.
just walked it in. I tried to like power walk it as best I could, but I was doing like 20-minute mile, like, well, 18, 17-minute miles was my fastest,
Okay.
but it was like maybe 18 to 19-minute miles. I was averaging that last 33 miles.
So, would you ever do swamis again?
I'm gonna sign up,
Okay.
but if I run it again, I feel like I'd want to try to like go fast, so I'd have to figure out how to handle all that pavement. I always, no matter what, I want to learn something about myself and I want to push myself in some way. So,
You've got some stout races on your schedule this year, with Cruel Jewel coming up.
the other efforts I have that are not in Ultra Sign Up are the Sinister 7 100 in Alberta, and that's in July. And
Okay.
then I'll be going for the FKT for the Long Trail, I think August.
So how long is the long trail?
273 miles with
And
66.
what's the FKT right now?
For self-supported, it's 6 days and 8 hours by Liz Durstine.
Oh wow. That's awesome. All right, so let's wind this down. So this is the way we always like to kind of end the Living an Ultra Life podcast. So the name of it is Living an Ultra Life. What's the first thing that pops into your head when you hear it?
Like freedom. And I mean, when I think about it a little bit, just like crushing goals and helping other people achieve what they want to achieve.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Thanks for listening. Really appreciate you guys. We'll see you next time on Living an Ultra Life.